Hello again, it's myself, Miles McKee, with the Gospel Truth Weekly Podcast. I'm delighted to have you on the broadcast with me today. Now listen, I'm going to speak about a little subject I called, Am I Saved or Not? Isn't that a good question to ask? And I'm going to ask some questions along with this. And I would call them questions meant especially for the unbelieving believer. The unbelieving believer, what's that? Well, that's somebody who doubts their beliefs and believes their doubts. And these dear folks are continually worrying about whether or not they're saved. And are you like that, by the way? Yeah, you're going by feelings. Sometimes you feel saved, sometimes not. There's a lot of people like that. I feel saved. And people write to me and in conversations that I used to have, oh yeah, I'm not sure, I don't feel like it. Is that you? Well, may you learn and may we learn that we're not saved by feelings. Feelings are subjective. They're enjoyable. Good feelings about God are wonderful, it's great, but they can't save you. They can't damn you and they can't save you. Unfortunately, the unbeliever, or the unbelieving believer, is found in a great number of places nowadays. But hey, would you like me to tell you a wee secret? You would. Well, fair enough. I'll tell you a wee secret then. Here's the secret. Here's the truth of the matter. We, at times, all of us, doubt our salvation. Doubt whether or not we are saved. People look at preachers and say, oh, they're such a holy, exalted bunch. Oh, dear, dear, dear. Now we go through all the struggles. We do. But we doubt sometimes whether we could be saved. But I identify with one old-time preacher who said, when I look at myself, I think it impossible that I may be saved, but when I look at Jesus, I know it's impossible that I could be lost. Look, it's one thing to doubt our salvation, but quite another to doubt our Savior. So, as we grow in grace and in the knowledge of God, by the way, that's the scriptures, 2 Peter 3:18. So, as we grow in grace and in the knowledge of God, there are times when the Holy Spirit demolishes our pride and our self-righteousness. How's he do that? Well, he does this by withdrawing the sense of his presence from him, from us. And in these seasons, we get an opportunity to see how hard our hearts remain before God, how willful, self-willed we still are. We get shocked to see how much of the rebel is still in us, loitering around up to no good. But the good news is, however, that the ensuing feelings of self-doubt and despair combine to cause us to realize that the ultimate foundation of our safety and security is the Lord Jesus himself. Praise his holy name. So let me remind you, we are saved on account of the Lord Jesus having died in our place. We rest on him and his accomplishments for him, for there's no other resting place. We trust him and rest upon him alone for salvation. So here's a few questions for you if you're wondering whether you're saved or lost. So listen carefully. Can you give your hearty and enthusiastic agreement to the following declaration? Here's the declaration. There is no other name given under heaven among men whereby we must be saved but that of Jesus. Jesus only. You can say that? You say, yes, you can? Well, then, that's an evidence of salvation. A non-saved man would find that hard to say. Here's another question. Do you believe in the fullness and freeness of his salvation? Can you say, for salvation is full and free, purchased once on Calvary. Christ alone shall be my plea. Jesus, Jesus only. Jesus only, let me see. Jesus only, none save he. Then my song shall ever be. Jesus, Jesus only. That's precious, isn't it? It's an old hymn. So tell me, is salvation full and free? Do you believe that? You do. Well, that's another evidence of salvation. Here's another question. Do you believe that you don't have to work for salvation, but that Christ Jesus did all this necessary work and you are resting on him and his work? Do you believe that? You believe you don't have to work for salvation? Oh, you do? Well, that's great. That's great. That's one of the truths of salvation, that we're saved apart from works. We're not against works, but they don't save us. Well, here's another question. Do you believe that Jesus Christ is God manifest in the flesh? Do you believe that God came himself into your place and position and died as a man for your sins? Oh yes, Brother Miles, I believe that. Well, that's an evidence of salvation. And do you believe that the Lord Jesus had no sins of his own, and that he put away your sin and the believer's sin by the sacrifice of himself? Oh yes, Brother Miles, I believe that Jesus had no sins of his own. That's what made him qualified to die in my place. So you believe that? Well, then that's an evidence of salvation. Now listen to this one. Here's a question. Do you believe that the Father's gift to you is the gift of his precious Son? Did you know that Jesus is a gift? Did you know that? Jesus is a gift. John 3:16 says that God so loved the world that he gave. Well, what did he give? A big book of laws? No. A religious system of rules and regulations? No, no, no. God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son. He gave us Jesus. Do you believe that? Do you believe that Jesus is God's gift to you? Do you believe that? He's God's gift. The Father's gift to you is the Lord Jesus. Have you, by the way, received that gift? You might say, well, I know that. But, yeah, you know, I grew up in the Presbyterian Church in Mahara, County Derry, and in Northern Ireland. And we were taught in Sunday school. I knew a lot of truth, but I didn't know it because it wasn't mine. It wasn't personal. So let me ask you, have you received the free gift? Well, you say, I have. Well, then that's evidence of salvation. The free gift is Jesus. Nothing compared to him. All benefits pour out of him. You believe that? You do? Okay, that's evidence of salvation. Now, here's another question. For your redemption, does anything need to either be added to or subtracted from Christ's finished work? You reply, no, nothing needs to be added to the finished work. Nothing needs to be subtracted. It's finished. Oh, well, that's great. You believe that? Well, then that's evidence of salvation. That's strong evidence. And let me ask you again. Have you been persuaded that you will try no other remedy nor look to any other source for salvation than Christ crucified? You're determined to look for forgiveness of sins nowhere else but Jesus. You're not off to join, I was going to say, the Brownies. all these clubs that do good works, and I'm glad for them, the Lions and all like that. And look, great, do all the good works, but they cannot forgive your sins. They cannot forgive your sins. So, are you determined to look for the forgiveness of sins nowhere else but in Jesus? Well, you say, sometimes I'm like that, brother, but, you know, Brother Miles, sometimes I don't feel forgiven. Well, all I can say is, so what? You don't feel forgiven? So what? We don't have to feel forgiven. The great Martin Luther was once asked, "Do you feel that all your sins have been forgiven?" He replied, "Indeed I do not, but I know that they are." "Oh, but you say, I really, really wish I could feel that my sins were forgiven. Really, really wish, oh, that I could feel it." Well now, he doesn't ask you to feel it. He asks you to believe it. And believing is based on his word. Listen to Ephesians 4, verse 32. "Be ye kind one to another, tender-hearted, forgiving one another, even as God for Christ's sake has forgiven you." The word of God says it. You've been forgiven. Are you believing that? Have you received that? Have you received the gift of Jesus? Have you received forgiveness of sins? So let's ask, have you been persuaded that you will try no other remedy? Oh, nor look to any other source for salvation and forgiveness than Christ crucified. And can you agree with and say the following? It's an old poem. "No feelings I trust, 'tis Christ alone. It's who he is, what he has done. He was for me fully given by God, and was for me, it was for me, he shed his blood." Can you agree with that sentiment? You can. Well, that's evidence of salvation. Shout amen, say hallelujah, hallelujah, say glory to God, glory to God. Thank you for salvation, full and free. Now, here's another question. Can you listen with indifference and unconcerned if you hear derogatory things spoken against the Lord Jesus? You hear people blaspheming him and his lovely name. His lovely name used as a curse word. Does that annoy you? I mean, that really annoys me. I don't want to be around people who are blaspheming Jesus. But when you hear Jesus Christ being blasphemed, does something stir within you that causes you to feel a measure of disgust? You ever feel that? Can you stand to hear the name of Jesus disparaged? It offends me. What about you? It offends me to hear his lovely saving name being dragged through the mud. Oh. Or do you join in with them? Listen, if it offends you, that's a good thing. That's a good thing. Many times, I wouldn't be able to count them, but I have stopped people using the name of Jesus in my presence. They can do whatever, but if they want to hang out, look, quit that. Cut it out. So let me ask you, are you ready to take a stand for Jesus? You are. You have done. Great. That's evidence of salvation. So, would anything, now listen to this, would anything give you more delight and satisfaction as Jesus walking into where you are, into the room where you are, and he smiles at you and he says, "I am your salvation"? Would that delight you? Boy. It's not that I get salvation, but imagine seeing Jesus, the real Jesus, coming into your living room and sitting there with you and smiling. Oh, don't you want to worship him? Fall at his feet and worship him? Well, if you would be delighted for Jesus to come to you, it's a great evidence of salvation. Look, are there ever at least some moments, here's another question, are there some moments when listening to a sermon or some testimony or singing of a hymn or some scripture being read and applied that there comes a thought, "Yes, Lord Jesus, you are precious. You are precious." Look, here's the way I look at it. Jesus is precious. It says so, 1 Peter 2:7. He is precious, and he's precious because he loves me, not my performance. He doesn't love my performance, but he loves me. He loves me. He loves me. His mercy preserves me. He's precious. The truth about me is, look, I'm a rotten sinner and I fully deserve the lake of fire. But listen to this. For scarcely for a righteous man will one die, but yet peradventure a good man, for a good man some would even dare to die. God commends his love towards us in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. Where's that, brother? That's in Romans 5. Romans 5, 7 to 8. Christ sacrificed his life upon the cross for my sins. Why? Because he loves me. Jesus is precious. He didn't die on the cross because I'm a good guy. And he doesn't look at you and say, hey, you're good. I'll give you blessings. It's all blessings come through Jesus. He is the treasure. He is precious. He gave his life for the believer. Well, you reply, yeah, this has happened. I believe that. Yeah, I've at times had a sense of his preciousness. I'm not saying I have it all the time, but yeah. Well, great, that's an evidence of salvation. Here's another question. Do you enjoy the company and the fellowship of those who love the Lord Jesus? Or do you despise and look down on those who gather in his lovely name? Oh, you say, no, I love the gathering of people. I don't love all the people, but I love when Christians are together and dwelling together. Or are you despising them and looking down and say, I don't want anything to do with Christians? Oh, no, no. If you reply, yeah, I love the company of the saints. Well, that's an evidence of salvation. Now, listen to this one. Do you hesitate to use the word wretch to define yourself? Or can you adopt it as the word that best describes you? You see, the truth is, apart from Christ, you are a wretch. Can you say that? Do you believe that? But the good news is Jesus saves wretches. Indeed, he saves wretches. Yes, he saves the worst of wretches. He saves the blackest, the vilest, the most debauched, the most debased, the most polluted, the filthiest, the rebellious, the unclean, the murderous, the thieving, the lying, gray-haired sinner that who ever lived. Oh, the lying, gray-haired sinner. Is that you? Is that who you were? Or have the potential to be? You reply, listen to me, you reply, yes, amazing grace that saved a wretch like me. Oh, that's beautiful. Oh, do you love that? Amazing grace that saved a wretch. Well, that's evidence of your salvation. Well, is Christ your only confidence then? Is Christ alone your confidence? You reply, yes. Yes, he's my only confidence. Well, that's evidence of salvation, my friend. But I don't feel saved. You don't have to feel saved. The Lord asks you to believe. Trust his word. Trust what he said. He's your only confidence. I'll bring this to an end. These few questions, answered properly, help to give assurance of salvation. They point us to things that accompany salvation. However, splendid and vital as they are, these proofs of salvation do not provide ultimate safety for the believer. Our shelter goes beyond these questions. Our resting place is Christ alone. It is in him that we are totally safe. If we by faith see and embrace the sufficiency of salvation in the Lord Jesus Christ, we may be sure our election is of God. 2 Peter 1:10. So may we learn that we're not saved by feelings. Feelings are subjective. They neither save nor damn anyone. I like the little poem that Luther wrote. He said, feelings come and feelings go. And feelings are deceiving. My warrant is the word of God, naught else is worth believing. The truth is, no one can live before God with any measure of security based on feelings. I'll say that again. No one can live before God with any measure of security based on feelings. But the Holy Spirit comes to us in the gospel and enables us to see Christ's person and experience for us as the foundation and fullness of all our hopes and safety. And that's the gospel truth. Have you received the Lord's gift, Jesus? Are you trusting in him? Well, why don't you today? Why don't you just say, Lord, save me. I believe you are the Savior. I know the facts. Lord, I trust and lean and rely on you. Thank you, Lord Jesus, for hearing this prayer. Hey, listen, it's time to go. I'm glad you are with us today. Tell your friends about this podcast. You can sign them up on, where is it? Yeah, milesmckee.com. Well, there's emails there. You can email me. Yeah, email is miles, M-I-L-E-S, miles@milesmckee.com. If you want to subscribe to that, just send a wee email saying subscribe to podcast. Then we have the Wednesday Word. Most of you, all of you, I'd say, and get the Wednesday Word. But if you don't, or your friends don't, email me, miles@milesmckee.com. It's so simple. And the Gospel Truth website, not website, what's it? Facebook site. Gospel Truth exclamation mark. We welcome you to that. It's a lot of people contributing wonderful gospel nuggets to that little site. Hey, we need the gospel, don't we? We need to grow in grace and in the knowledge of God. Thank you so much for being with me. May the Lord bless you and prosper you in Jesus' name.